Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying discipleship training in Luke's Gospel, and this is Lesson 29, Lamps Belong on Lampstands, based on Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can open up your word, and then your Spirit can speak to our hearts and touch us and move us your direction to change our values, to change our actions and our behaviors. Oh Lord, change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's a short saying about lighting a lamp that you can meditate on. I'm reading from Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, waiting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." In Jesus' day, lamps were made of clay. They were simple, with a reservoir for the olive oil and a nozzle on which the flax wick would rest. Household lamps were small enough to be carried on the palm of the hand. The lamp which Jesus was probably most familiar with was the Herodian lamp, made on a potter's wheel of thin, light brown clay, distinguished from later lamp models by its downward sloping wick nozzle. The point of the parable is simple. When it is dark enough to light a lamp, you set it high enough to illuminate everything around, on a shelf in the stone wall of your home, or on a wooden lampstand in the center of the room, allowing 360-degree illumination. This short saying is found in several contexts in the Gospels. Following the parable of the soils in Luke 8 and Mark 4, after "You are the salt of the earth" saying in Matthew 5, following "Something is greater than Jonah here" saying before the "I is the lamp of your body" saying in Luke 11, following sayings about a city set on a mountain and hearing and proclaiming in the Gospel of Thomas even. You may know the same children's song I learned in Sunday school. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Put it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Then don't let Satan it out, I'm gonna let it shine," goes on and on. But Jesus may well have had something else in mind in our passage in Luke 8:16. Let's look at it with fresh eyes to see what he meant by it here. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Jesus' statement is almost funny. He probably smiled when he said it. If you're going to light a lamp, you do it for illumination, not to hide or conceal it. If that were your purpose, you wouldn't light it at all. What could the lamp represent? Let's list the possibilities. The disciples who make up the good soil that immediately precedes this verse in both Mark and Luke. The fruit that results from their good soil. Jesus, who is the light of the world. The word, the truth concerning the kingdom of God. Each of these ideas has been argued by able scholars, but they can't all be right. Here's how I approach interpreting this passage. First, I look at the immediate context. It is followed by a verse about nothing being hidden, verse 17, and a familiar saying, "Therefore consider carefully how you listen," verse 18, very similar to chapter 8, verse 8 in the parable of the soils, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In fact, the word to hear appears many times in the parable of the soils. Verse 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, though hearing, they may not understand. Verse 12, those along the path are the ones who hear. Verse 13, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. Verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. Verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those who hear the word. The clear theme of the parable of the soils is hearing the word of God. And it appears that this theme stretches from chapter 8, verse 1, where Jesus is traveling from village to city proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, to 8:21, where Jesus says that his true family are those who hear God's word and do it, verse 21. If hearing the word is the theme of verses 8 to 21, then I am convinced that the light of the lamp in verse 16 is the word of God, the message of the kingdom that Jesus has been proclaiming all over Galilee. Some will hear it and not understand. In others, the word will see a little growth. In others, the growth of the word will be choked. But in others, the word will produce a crop of obedience, a changed life, and a fruitful ministry. Let me read it again. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. This message of the kingdom must not be hidden or just whispered in secret. Rather, it must be proclaimed openly and clearly so that those who come in can see the light, so that it will provide illumination and power. Jesus is instructing his disciples here, don't stifle the message of the kingdom, but proclaim it openly. Why would we, as Jesus' disciples, be tempted to do otherwise? Fear of persecution is hinted at in verse 13. Fear of being ostracized from respectable society, expelled from the central community institution, the synagogue. Fear that we won't be accepted. Fear of ridicule. Fear that this will affect our business. Fear that we will lose our job. Fear. You don't light a lamp and then hide its light, Jesus is saying. That's foolish. Rather, you place it where it can be seen and provide light to everyone in the house. My dear friend, have you been tempted to hide the light of the message of Jesus' kingdom? Jesus is speaking to you and me. What will we do about it? Verse 17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. The verse begins with the Greek conjunction gar, which is used to express cause, inference, continuation, or to explain. In our verse, the sense is, don't hide the message now because everything is now to be revealed. In the parable of the soils, verse 10, the secrets of the kingdom have been given to the disciples. But the mystery, unrevealed plan of God, previously unknown, is now revealed. It is now open. We must make it known and declare it openly. Some people interpret this eschatologically, that is, when Christ returns, everything will be known. Indeed, that is true. But I think the present reference is primary. Now is the time to disclose and proclaim the wisdom of God that is now revealed in Jesus Christ. This is the disciples' glory and their vital mission. The word, the lamp, has been lit and must not be hidden, but set on high so all can see. Verse 18, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Why does Jesus warn us again about hearing? Because the danger of self-deception is great. The seed that fell on the hard-packed soil of the path and bounced off is a reference to the closed-minded attitude of the Pharisees, who thought they knew better than anyone else and rejected God's purpose for themselves. Chapter 7, verse 30. The Wise and Foolish Builders, chapter 6, 46 to 49, is about those who heard Jesus' words and put them into practice versus those who heard the same words but did not apply them. So in verse 18, Jesus warns again, consider how you listen, or take heed then how ye hear. Jesus' brother James, who is mentioned in the next verse, gives disciples a similar warning in his epistle, James 1, 22-24. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. This is critical, since whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken from him, verse 18. Those who go under the name Christian but haven't really followed Jesus and put into practice his teachings will hear in the last day, I never knew you. I'm reading now verses 19-21. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. This seems harsh to me. But to the ears of Jesus' disciples, raised in a culture where family was preeminent and held together with the unbreakable bonds of blood, much more than in individualistic America, these words were doubly harsh. The disciples must have been utterly shocked. Jesus intended for them to be shocked, so they would never forget the lesson he was teaching. My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Hearing God's word and putting it into practice is the message that must be indelibly tattooed upon our minds. The message of the gospel, the word of God, must never be silenced or hidden, but proclaimed even more widely. That is Jesus' clear directive. The lamp is lit to be placed on a lampstand to give light to all who enter. The time for secrecy is past. Now everyone must know. Take heed how you hear this, my dear disciple friend. Take heed and put it into practice, that you may be Jesus' true kinsman. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have said this with such power and finality. Hear and do. Hear and put into practice. Hear and proclaim. Let me never be ashamed of you and your word, as sometimes I have been. Forgive me. Let me proclaim it as fearlessly as you and your disciples did. In your holy name I pray. Amen.